we begin every time I share with everyone that what is the idea of sitting in this gathering? What is the virtue of sitting in this gathering? So the virtue of sitting in this gathering, it comes in one narration that موقف ساعة في مجلس العلم. The mafhum of the hadith is sitting, being in the majlis of ilm for a short while is better than worshipping in the night of Qadr in front of Hajar Aswad. That is the reward of sitting in the majlis of ilm. We were just learning in this school, we were learning about the Salah. So we were about to finish the chapter, so I was thinking to tell them. And I was so exhausted teaching them. So on my way back, I was thinking that when we offer two rakat nafil, you feel very happy. Oh, see, I offered two rakat nafil. Alhamdulillah, I offered, you know. We feel something, we did something. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that a person who goes and he learns one chapter of ilm, one bab of ilm, one chapter of ilm, it doesn't matter that he has to practice it right away or not. Let's say if we get to learn tayammum, we don't have to do tayammum right now. But tayammum itself is a whole chapter. His reward is the reward of a person who offers 1,000 nafil. Can you imagine? How long does it take to offer 1,000 nafil? Two rakat nafil, it makes us so happy. Imagine the reward of 1,000 nafil. Allah, one day this is going to be shown to us, my dear brothers. When the reality will open up, then you will find out the value and the virtue, the price of two rakat nafil. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was passing by by a grave. One of his companion was with him, and pointing towards that grave, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ghaliban Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu." "Oh Abdullah, oh Abdullah, this person who is inside grave, if he is given choice between the whole world and whatever it contains and two rakat nafil, he would prefer two rakat nafil. For him, now two rakat nafil worth more than entire world and whatever it contains. Right now my job worth more than first salah. Right now my own family, my comfort in my house worth more than coming to masjid. But that, there will be a day when we will realize what we have gained and what we have missed out. In Surah Infitar, Allah mentions this. Allah gives this expression. Kya hai wo? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every soul will know, will find out and on that day what it had brought and what it had left. Right now we are thinking what we have in our accounts, in our houses, it belongs to me. It's mine. I have saved it. Savings is different, my dear brothers. Savings are different. So anyway, so this idea of getting together and learning about Quran is this. You know, and the second idea is, my dear brothers, that we listen. So see, one is the translation of ayat, of the verses. One is the explanation of those verses. One is that mindset that how these ayat and the lessons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from these ayat, I can apply them in my life. So we can sit in this gathering by just to learn the translation, just to enjoy the explanation. That's it. That's going to be entertainment of ears. Kano ka maza hoga. No, we listen like the Sahaba Ikram Rizwan Ajmain used to listen. So they used to listen with the ears of, with the idea of practicing. Whatever I'm going to listen, I'm going to practice. I was so amazed, I was learning this, that Imam Malik Rahimahullah, Ghaliban, if I'm not wrong, Imam Malik Rahimahullah, he found out, he learned that hadith. He just learned, read that hadith, just read it for the first time. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once did hajama karane ko kya kehte hain?
Cupping.
He did cupping, and after cupping, he gave 1 dinar to as a salary, as a fee to the one who did it. Right away he called the person who do cupping, and God. He asked him to do cupping and he gave them 1 dinar. Right away. And there are many mashayikh. There are many mashayikh, about them it's written that there is no hadith, there is no authentic hadith in Sihai Sitta, in the 6 famous books, that they have not practiced on it. Aisi koi hadith nahi. Allah. We can become like that too. Is just that we have to turn that switch on. That switch is off, my dear brothers. The switch is even off. How is going to work? So we have to sit in it with that idea. Oh Allah, what lessons you want me to learn from these ayats? Let me understand. That is called tadabbur. That is called tadabbur. That you are trying to fix your life in the context of these ayats. Now, we have been learning Surah Yusuf from a long time. It's been months we have been learning. So this surah is so deep. I don't know how. Somebody was saying to me that when are we going to finish Surah Yusuf? I said, you know, it's not about finishing the whole Quran. It's about getting to learn what we need to learn. It's about fixing ourselves. It's about that. So it's not just about finishing the surahs. So anyway, so the whole idea was, my dear brothers, that this I chose in Surah Yusuf for 2 reasons. One is that every one of us is liable in this ummah to convey the deen we have, to practice the deen ourselves and convey the deen we have. Right? And the one who conveys the deen to others, who has this responsibility, he is going to be tested. He goes through tests, trials, tribulations. And this surah, that's all it telling us. How Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through one test after the other. And then the second reason why I chose this surah is because the tests are based on family matters, community matters. All of us go through family issues. Is there any family who has no issue? Everybody goes through. We all have families. We all are family, you know, oriented people. And then everybody lives in a community, so every community has issues. Those are all addressed in this surah. I need to find out which ayat is fixing in my life. What lesson I need to learn? What is the solution for my problem? Anyway. So, my dear brothers, what happens is a person is sent by Allah. And he is given this responsibility to introduce people to reality, to haqq. Now, my dear brothers, what happens? Allah, in his beginning of his life, this person's life, Allah tests him. Allah gives him iman, Allah teaches him iman. And after every teacher, when he teaches a concept, he tests, he examines his student. So now this iman is taught to this prophet, the qualities of iman are given to this prophet, now this Prophet is tested. So since the beginning we have been seeing that the very first thing was tested of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was his patience. How patient he is. Right? His own family members are teasing him, torturing him, prosecuting him, right? And hurting him, having bad schemes about him, evil schemes about him. Own family members, not somebody outside. And Allah is testing his what? Patience. Sabr. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is put to another test. When he gets out from there, he is put to another test. His test of his modesty. Then he is put to another test of keeping a trust. Then he is put to another test of forbearance. That those people who tortured him, who prosecuted him, now he is able to take revenge. And he doesn't take any revenge. He says, La tatariba alaykum al-yawm. La tatariba alaykum al-yawm. So, this is the idea, my dear brothers. You know, I was just remembering, this to say this is very easy. That a person with iman is going to be tested. It's very easy to say this. But when a person is put through tests, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us afiyat. You know, give us afiyat. Always we need to be asking afiyat from Allah. We are nowhere to be tested. Very weak iman, very weak. Imagine the zulum, the oppression Sahaba Ikram Rizwanul Jami went through. Imagine, just imagine that. You know, once I was listening to one shaykh. Is everyone listening? Or everyone falling asleep? You know, this person, he's this sheikh, he told us, everybody has heard the name of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was very skinny, very tiny guy, very small in the beginning, and he was one of the first group who accepted Islam, from the first 10 people who accepted Islam. And Abu Jahl, he was huge, gigantic man, tall, and he is like that. So he was saying, I can't even say those words what I heard from him. And in Hayatul Sahaba it is written that the torture Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullah went through in Makkah, that he, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was sitting in Haram and Abu Jahl came and he was standing, he hold on to the ear of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and he picked him through his ear. With his ear. And as soon he picked him, the whole ear came off. And he fell down. This is the zulm that God went through. And he became Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. All of the narrations in Hanafi fiqh are narrated by him. He is one and only that Sahabi in the whole galaxy of Sahaba that had no need of seeking permission to get into the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. There was no need for him. He was given open permission, blank check. Whenever you want to come in, you can come in. He got to that level like that. There's something he went through. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, who came very late, he used to say, for a long time I used to think Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is one of the family members. That many times I have seen him going in and out. This close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this Sahaba, these kind of people who were tortured like that, they came once to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers, I am emphasizing on this. I know I should be doing translation and all that. But these are the things we need to hear. These Sahaba, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not on haq? Are we not on truth? Are we not on the right path? Isn't Allah with us? Isn't help of Allah with us? Why don't you make baddua for them? Why don't you make dua against them? Look what they are doing with us. You know, this is the greatest test. You know, one is that you did something wrong, and on that you are tortured, and you are punished. That person can become patient. But when you are right, when on your right side and you are still punished, then everybody speaks up. Huh? Then it's very hard to hold on. You know, I'm right. I never did anything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the riwayah says he was laying down right next to the wall of Kaaba in the shade of the wall of the Kaaba. He got up. And he realized this is the time to do tarbiyat. This is the time to say something which will do tarbiyat. So he said, be patient. Be patient. People before you were digged into the hole in the ground and the saw was brought and they were cut into pieces because of this iman. And the combs, the metal combs were brought and their flesh was, you know, taken away from their bones. People had gone through this for this iman. So my dear brothers, we don't have to go through these tests. We have very small tests. A person had just come back from work, he's very tired, now Isha Salah is in the masjid. This is small of a test. A person lives a little far away from the masjid, he has to drive 15 minutes to come to masjid. A little bit test. The shamelessness is just one click away. Nobody is in the room. This is small of a test. A person can make halal way 10,000 and with where haram way 50,000. This of a test. These tests we are put in. Small tests. Not like those tests. So this in this entire surah, my dear brothers, we kept on learning this. How Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is tested. And how he kept on passing through all the tests. How he kept on passing through the test. So the point we got that he told the dream. That he was told the dream about the king. The king saw the dream, and that what we learned in the last session. That he told the interpretation of the dream. And then the king asked him to come. And then he denied. He said, first clear my record and all of that happened. And when the case was all cleared, then he did not say, he said, he did not praise himself. He just proved himself that I am all clean. But he still did not come into that state of being praiseworthy of him, praising himself. That's what the last ayat we covered last time, and I explained to it. So we'll do the translation, literal translation, inshallah, and then we can go into the explanation also. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. So he said, I don't absolve myself of no blame. It's not like I'm not blaming my own self. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This nafs, the self I have, it always incites a person to evil. We had a long discussion last time about nafs. Illa ma rahima rabbi. So this nafs always, itself always incites a person towards evil. Ha. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Unless my Lord showers a person with his mercy. Inna rabbi ghafurur rahim. Indeed, my Lord, he is very forgiving. He is most forgiving and most merciful. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ. Now when the king heard this dream, this interpretation that he gave, and the whole case was recovered and everything was clean, he asked about Yusuf. He gave this order, he gave this command, اُتُونِي بِهِ, bring him to me. أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. I shall employ him for myself only. He's going to work for me only. Not for anyone. He's going to work for me. He's a special guy. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. And then when the king talked to him, He said to him, "Innaka al-yawm, today indeed you are with a very good accommodation. We're going to give you a good accommodation. Makin, you're going to be accommodated here. Ameen, peacefully. You will have no harm here." And qala ja'alni ala khazain al-ard. Then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to him that appoint me over the treasures of the land. Inni hafidun alim. I am a good guard. And indeed I am a good guard. And I am knowledgeable also. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I wish if everybody has Quran, you know, everybody could see it, how the translation is going. Anyway, try to focus on the words. You know, the words are very... وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ. In that manner, we provided, we gave power to Yusuf on earth. Makkanna li Yusuf. We gave power Yusuf on earth. We. How? What kind of power? Yatabawwa'u minha haythu yasha. He can settle himself, go anywhere he wants in the land. Nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha. This mercy of ours we extend towards whomever we will. Whomever we want to give. It's Allah who gives. But the idea is, the ruling is, وَلَا نُضِيُوا أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We do not waste the reward of those people who are righteous in their deeds. We do not waste their deeds. Kisi ki neki zaya nahi hoti. But even after that, well, even after telling all of this, Allah is saying, everyone, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ. The reward of akhirat, of hereafter, is far better. Even this kingdom is nothing. This much honor is nothing. A person becoming a king of entire country. But Allah is saying, the reward of hereafter is far better. But that reward is for who? لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُوا. Those who believed and they have fear of Allah. They are fearful of Allah. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And in, meanwhile all this is happening. So he became king. And he started applying the idea he gave of how to use the provisions and how to use the all grains that they will grow. And 7 years went by. And the next 7 years of drought started. So when the drought started, so it hit all the countries along the country of Misr. So Palestine was also hit with this drought. So Canaan, they were from Canaan. So his brothers from Canaan, they came all the way hearing about this, that this king is distributing and is managing all of that. They came here to get the provision. So this is what is coming up. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفُ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ. So they came, the brothers of Yusuf. Oh, I wish if you could imagine all of that, what is happening. Eh? Yusuf alayhi salam, after being going through all of that, now the brothers are coming in front of him. Allah. How did he hold on to himself? Allah. Huh? Can you imagine? If somebody looks to us as with a you know, harsh eye, we take his head off. Huh? And look here. The brothers of Yusuf are coming back to Yusuf. Oh, oh. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لُمْكِرُونَ. They entered in his court. فَعَرَفَهُمْ. He right away recognized him. He right away, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, right away recognized them. وَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. But they did not recognize him. Anyone can tell us why? Because they were already old. The brothers were already old when they threw him in the well. And he was very young. So the old person did not change. Their face is the same way. But the young child, when he grew up, his face changes. And is there any possibility that it had come through in their mind that the small child, we had threw him in the well and we sold him to some travelers going to become the king of the Misr. So they had no idea, so they never recognized him. وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالَتُونِ بِأَخِنْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ When he provided him with their provision, قَالَتُونِ بِأَخِنْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to them that bring your brother from the brother from your father's side, your step brother from your father's side, which was Binyamin, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, real brother. فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونِ If you don't bring him to me, then there is no measure for you. There is no provision for you. وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ Don't even come close to me then. So قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ إِنَّ لَفَاعِلُونَ They said, we are going to deceive his father again. We're going to persuade his father again. You know, we're going to try to make him give him to us so we can bring him. Abahu wa inna lafa'ilam. We are indeed going to do that. Now waqar al-fityani ja'alu bida'atahum fi rihalihim. After this conversation, the Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his servants, those who were serving and doing the job for him, he said to them, ija'alu bida'atahum fi rihalihim. You know the capital they brought, the price they brought to buy this provision from us, return this into their camel packs. فِي رِحَالِهِمْ Return, put this back into their camel packs. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا When they will go home, they will recognize, the price we're supposed to give the king, we brought with us. We didn't even pay him. So لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَنْ قَلَبُوا When they will return to their family, they will recognize this capital, this money they're supposed to pay us. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ That will become another reason for them to come back. Right? So inshallah, the story continues, but what I wanted to discuss tonight, till here, Allahu Akbar. That one thing, my dear brothers, in the very first ayat we did, is that the ayat says فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ When the king talked to him. The Mufassirin has written a lot of explanation in this one word كَلَّمَهُ You know, in Arabic there is a phrase, Arabi mein kahawat hai, Al-insanu tahta al-lisan, that a person is underneath his tongue. When he opens up his tongue, then you know you can find out who what kind of person he is. You know, outwardly you will see, oh, very nice imama, you know, turban, you know, sunnah clothes and everything is there. When he opens up his mouth, then you know, oh, this kind of person he is. Your tongue tells what is in your heart. You know, when you have a pot and it has something in it, so when you put the spoon in, so this tongue is like the spoon. It will go in and take whatever is there in your inside. So you see this person, whenever you see him, he's just telling you bad stuff about other people. What does it mean? What he has in his heart? So tongue tells what kind of person he is. So the king recognized Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam through the words he spoke. The kind of interpretation he gave. And Mufassirin has written, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to the court of this king, he did not just speak in one language. He spoke in Arabic also, he spoke in Ibrani also, and he spoke in the language the king speaks. 3 to 4 languages he spoke. And he put up an idea how to battle this drought, that the king was astonished. What kind of person is this? He was locked in the jail. So when he recognized him, when he was admired, then he said, إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ So you're going to be with us from now. You're going to be only for me. And you're going to be all peaceful. So, the riwayat it says, my dear brothers, that the king, obviously, Yusuf alayhi salam was prophet. So he did not just made him admire for no reason just to get this position. He inspired him to invite him towards Allah. So the riwayat says that he right away invited him, the king, towards Allah. He gave him da'wat and the king right away accepted Islam. He right away believed. And on top of that, so when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, this next ayat, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asked him to appoint me over the treasures of the world, appoint me as a finance minister, he asked. So in this ayat, ulama and mufassirin has written, so it looks like that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the position himself. But my dear brothers, the lesson which is given to us is never ask for any position. And in our life, the kind of lifestyle we have, we all are running towards the positions. We all are running towards the positions, you know. They have elections in the masajid to become the president of the masjid. It comes in the hadith. Please listen to this, my dear brothers. The one who asks for a position, the help of Allah is taken away from him. Never appoint that person for the position the one who is himself asking for. Never appoint. Allah, help of Allah is not with him. When a person is running away from the position, he is the one needs to be appointed. You know how Abu Hanifa rahimahullah passed away? Everybody knows? He was asked by the Khalifa of that time to become the supreme, the
Chief Justice.
Not just the normal judge, general judge, Chief Justice. And he denied. He said, no, I'm not going to accept this. And he was jailed for this reason, for denial of being Chief Justice. And he passed away in that jail, my dear brothers. Imam Abu Hanifa, thousands of people are till now, hundreds of years of later, he's still following him and going to follow him. He passed away in jail because of this. You know, because when you know the reality, my dear brothers, when this real eye is opened up, you know, when you have iman, when you have the fear of being accountable in front of Allah, you're going to be accountable. It comes in hadith, so many things I have. It comes in a hadith, this person who was appointed on a position over people, jisko kisi kisam ki bhi koi amarat di gayi na, responsibility was given to him. On the day of judgment, he is going to come before Allah while his hands are going to be cuffed behind him. And first he is going to be asked for the responsibility he was given to. You think right now nobody is watching? Nobody knows what you're doing. No, somebody knows everything. Someone knows everything. In a hadith it comes, Allahu Akbar. This is a disease within us, my dear brothers. We want to be on top of everyone. We want to be, you know, on a position. I want to be regarded as a person, you know. The hadith, it says, the one who is given a position, who is given amarat. Should I say the next word? كَأَنَّهُ ذُبِحَ بِغَيْرِ سِكِّينَ. He is like that animal who is slaughtered without the knife. Who is slaughtered? Without the knife. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam presented himself for a reason. Because he knew this job is related with not just this king or not just this court. If the drought is not handled properly, oh, it's going to be a big chaos. No, what do you call it? When some disease spreads throughout the world? Pandemic, something like? Huh?
Epidemic.
Right? When there's going to be drought, it's going to be an epidemic and people will be eating each other. So that's why he presented himself to be on that position. Not in favor of himself, for favor of the people. And that's why he said, Inni Hazidun Alim, I can guard this, I can do this. And Alim, I am knowledgeable, Allah has given me this knowledge. But he asked for just finance, to be the finance minister. But the riwayat, it says, the king got so inspired, got so admired of him, that the king gave him whole kingship of him. Pure ikhtiyarat de diye the king ne. all the all the privileges the king had. All the authorities was given to him. He can rule everything. The king was just there for the name. He was the one who was ruling everything. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفُ. We gave him power over entire earth. Not on the khazain, Allah is saying power over earth we gave him. He was the king. So one thing what Mufassirin has written here, my dear brothers, that's a big lesson for us. On this ayat, the Mufassirin has written, has said, Allahu Akbar, that this lesson needs to be learned on this ayat. That when Allah desires for something, it happens. Allah ke chahne se hota. When Allah desired, Allah willed, Allah wished, Allah ordered, Allah planned Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to be in this position. There was no means of him getting to this position. A person is thrown into well. A person has been sold as a slave. A person has been accused with wrong accusations. A person is prisoned in the jail. What? Is there any mean? Is this route going towards the king? Ye rasta ja raha hai badshahi ki taraf. But my dear brothers, when Allah, wallahu yahkumu la mu'aqqib li hukmi, ek dafa Allah ka faisla aa jaye, phir koi piche karne wala nahi. When Allah commands, when Allah gives the verdict, there is nobody can back, put this off. Can put the word of Allah off. Yes, no. La mu'aqqib li hukmi. Inil hukmu illa lillah. See, when I know this person, he has some position. Whatever he says, it matters. People listen to him. And when I have something, some issue with him, some need from him, how much awe and how much inspiration, how much greatness in my heart I will go to him. Brother, please, I have this need, and you can do it. When we talk to Allah, do we talk like that? When we ask our need from Allah, do we talk like that? Do we have this yaqeen in Allah that if we will, it is going to happen? This lesson needs to be learned, my dear brothers. That we are so attracted with these worldly things and worldly positions and worldly people that we have no attraction of Allah left in our hearts. No greatness of Allah left in our hearts. Allah se bhi hota hai. Allah bhi kuch kar sakta hai. It is like that. That when we have a need, everything comes in, everyone comes into our heart but Allah. Allah ke zawa sab kuch aata hai dil mein. Let me ask him. Oh, in the end, when nobody talks to him, oh, yeah, Allah, now you're the only one left, yeah. This sheikh in India, he said to us, is everyone listening? He said, when a problem comes into your life, first instinct of your heart is not salah. That means iman has not entered into your heart. Musibat ke aate hi, agar pehla khayal namaz ka nahi hai, iman seene mein dakhil nahi hoga. And if you are not able to solve your problem through your salah is not there. It's just a picture of salah. It's not reality. What comes in a hadith? Idha hazabahu amrun faza'a ilas. As soon a problem used to occur in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, faza'a ilas salah. Right away, faza'a means rushing, hasten towards something, foran dhyan uski taraf jaye. Right away we open up our phone, let's start in context. Which context can I solve my problem? وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُسُفُ. Allah wants us to learn this lesson from this surah. We are the one behind the scenes. You think everything is happening. My father, he always gives this funny example. Allahu Akbar, we end with this, time is too much. He says this, this villager, this Bedouin, he comes from the village to the city. And he sees this this tap on the wall. As soon you open it, water starts to run. There's water coming out. Oh, subhanAllah. He has never seen tap in his life. So in our village, we have to take the pots, go all the way to the river, bring the water into our house. In the city, there is taps on the wall. You just open it and the water comes. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. So he goes to the market and he buys a tap. And he comes back to the village and he gathers everyone in the village. He says, I have this magic tap. You know, you all, everywhere, I mean, all of you, you don't have to go to the river anymore. I'm just gonna put this tap into this wall and see how the water comes out. And here he puts the tap into the wall and he opens it up. And you see what happens?
Nothing.
What comes out?
Air comes.
Nothing comes out, my dear brothers. Nothing comes out. It's not the tap who's giving water, my dear brothers. It's not the tap. It's not the tap. It's not the job. It's not the family. It's not the money. It's not the medicine. It's not our resources. It's who? اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما سعاذك منه نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه